The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle says Russell Westbrook might be getting closer, but he is still out for Game 5 tomorrow.
I don't bring him back until you're down. I mean,
I don't know that he's going to help.
Oh, he can't hurt. I mean, Wouldn't you rather have him than Eric Gordon?
At least then you've got a guy who's willing to drive to the basket.
Right.
Yeah, you know, there is that. But it's also putting another bad three-point shooter on the floor.
Remember how I was talking about Mike Zimmer and how, it's so unfair that some teams are going to have fans? Vic Fangio? He doesn't give a damn. He said, I really don't give a damn about that. If we can play in a stadium that's full, half full, a third full, home or away, we're happy.
I can't imagine that anyone really is like, it's just not fair. They've got fans and we don't. Aren't they allowing piped-in crowd noise anyway?
Yep.
I vote that they take the three-year average of the decibel reading during their home games, and that's what you can set it at. That's your max.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number 3, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. Stat Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Miss the first 2 hours. That's some of what you miss. Kind of sportsy, actually. Probably a little too sportsy.
Little politically.
Yeah, but we veered away from that pretty quickly. Talk a lot more about it than we plan to, considering nobody wanted to talk about it. But hey.
Sometimes you got to talk.
All available at podcastarena.com. Go and check it out. And if you know all the ways to watch and listen. So Hockley Dan, Fred swinging his sword at Hurricane Laura would be entertaining. There you go. That's what I'll do. If it comes here, I will go out when the eye passes over. And then we'll attack the second half with my sword briefly before going back inside and film it.
Okay.
How's that?
I'm down.
You know what'll happen.
I'll watch that.
Like something will fly off somebody else's balcony and bash me in the skull and kill me.
The sword will be blown out of your hands and go through somebody's house and kill them.
That'd be pretty funny. That'd be funnier than something hitting me.
True.
So,
well, something hitting you would be funny.
You'd still go to jail for it.
Speaking of it'd be funny to watch Fred get hurt, I let my kids watch the first Jackass movie. Maybe a mistake. Maybe they weren't ready. I was like, you know what? My son's 13.
Not wise, guys.
He had a couple of his buddies over, and I was just like, yeah, you guys can watch it. And while they thought it was hilarious, there were some scenes where it's like, maybe. And plus, my 8-year-old was there too, and other people's kids, which maybe I shouldn't have made that decision.
Where was your wife for this?
She was there. But normally I just say, when the kids ask me to watch stuff, they say, hey, is this appropriate for us to watch? Normally I always say, ask your mom, she'll usually say, no, that's not appropriate for children. And in this case, I was like, you know what? They got friends over, they're having fun. Go for it. And once that's out there, once I say go for it, it's not like she can just overrule me and say no. So she looked at me and she was like, are you out of your mind? And I gave her that look of like, yeah, I'm out of my mind. Let's go for it. Let's party. And then fast forward an hour and a half and there's someone shoving a toy car up somebody's butt. And but the kids thought it was funny. And that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, until one of them starts trying to shove a car up somebody's butt.
Well, listen, they all saw that's a bad idea.
I think the worst one of those, it was one of the worst movies ever made, too, but it was a spoof of, a whole bunch of stuff. I think it was called Epic Movie. And the previews had, like, Jack Sparrow fake and all that stuff. And the kids saw the previews and thought, oh, this is funny. So I go ahead and pick up the DVD so they can watch it. And didn't realize it was the unrated version. And there was a Samuel L. Jackson guy just basically standing there screaming over and over, I've had it with these mother bleeping snakes on this. And I'm like, oh my God, they're 10 and 8, and I've been so careful not to cuss around. And there was a bunch of other disgusting stuff in there. And they're just laughing their asses off, like, this is the funniest thing ever. And I'm like, oh no, no. That was probably the worst one. And that movie was so awful. And so is that the movie with the yellow snow cone? Yes.
Yep.
It made fun of the wardrobe thing. There was like the lion that they all had to have sex with. It was everything wrong. And the movie sucked on top of that. It wasn't funny at all.
The Jackass movie that I let them watch did have the yellow snow cone where he peed in the snow cone and then he ate it and then he vomited everywhere, which they also thought that was hilarious.
There was also a yellow snow cone in the epic movie.
Look at us. Look at us watching yellow snow cones
bad parenting
with our kids.
Bad parenting 101. So, I had a bunch of movie stuff. Apparently, and Aaron, you've watched John Wick, right?
I saw half of the first one on TV, and then something else caught my attention.
Apparently, the original script, he was only supposed to kill 3 people. The actual film has over 77 kills.
I've got to watch that movie. Is John Wick on Netflix or Amazon or something?
Should be by now, yeah.
I'm not paying for this movie because I feel like it's stupid. But enough people have told me that I should watch it that I'm like, okay, I should watch it.
It's basically like watching a video game. And he kills people in creative ways. And it's not something that you're going to sit there and go, oh, what a great plot. Or but if you want to watch something and just enjoy it and not think and just say, oh, that was cool how he blew that guy's head off, then that's John Wick. I'm trying to think of a comp. Well, Extraction was pretty close, but you didn't watch that either, so.
No.
It should be on Prime Video.
Okay. For free?
I believe so. That's what this website
Well, the first
says.
One, definitely. I mean, there's 3 of them that have been out
now.
Yeah,
they're already filming 4.
So. Yeah. 4 and 5 at the same time, apparently.
Here's Lamont. Not sure if you're aware what's going on with local female artist Meg Thee Stallion. I think it's Meg Thee Stallion with 2 E's.
2 E's,
Lamont.
Yeah.
But I want to know from the white race, what do y'all consider snitching? In the black community, snitching is you doing dirt, crime, and talking to the police, period. I mean, snitching comes in a lot of shapes and forms, but I think if someone shoots me and I know who shoots me, I think I'm going to try to see them arrested for it. Now, if someone shoots me while we are engaged in illegal activities, that changes the narrative. It depends on what we're getting into. If we're in a, we're doing a drug deal or a diamond heist and I get shot by, by the store owner or by a security guard or something like that, I got to be quiet about it. I'm not saying, hey, this guy shot me. Or if, let's say, you're one of the people in your diamond heisting crew shoots you. I don't think you snitch. I think you exact revenge. Anytime you get shot, though, I do think there's the inherent desire to go ahead and see the person who shot you punished for it, or to shoot them back. So I don't know. Then it becomes, do you want to be a snitch or a murderer? Because once you shoot someone, it's not like you can tell the cops, well, shot me in the foot, so I had to shoot him in the face. I don't think it works. And that, by the way, shot me in the foot like a month ago.
Yeah.
Like it needs to be a direct. Now, if you get shot in the foot and you instantly pull out and shoot him in the face, I think that's justified.
See, I need more context of the story. I don't know the
background on it.
Because to me, there's certain levels of things that, you know, I'm from the, you know, I like the mafia mindset that, you know, you don't rat. You know, that simple. Always keep your mouth shut. Never rat on a friend. I believe that. Except I do have exceptions. If I find out you're a pedo, I'm going to the cops.
Yeah.
That's just, you know. Other than that, I'm probably just giving you a stern warning. Like, dude, stop whacking old people.
I think, like, they're exes. Like, he was upset that they broke up or something like that, and that's why he decided to shoot.
Who shoots their ex-girlfriend in the foot for breaking up? Like, that's not going to make you come back together.
Yeah, maybe you should choose your ex-boyfriends a little better. Guys that aren't going to shoot you in the foot. Ah. Yeah, I need to know more about the story. But, yeah, you know, I'm a firm believer in not snitching, especially on anybody in your circle. But there's a limit to everything. It's not cut and dried. I don't think you can just say, oh, you do this or you do that. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We're just talking with the Twitchers about maybe going into TV would have paid a lot more money, but how boring would it be to be an
just
anchor?
A teleprompter reader?
Yeah.
Yeah, not ideal. It's not a fun job, I wouldn't think, but I'm guessing it pays really well. Like I was saying during the on Twitch, like what kind of money do you think Dominique Soxa makes? It's got to be good dough. Like better than we're making.
I don't know. I would bet I mean she's been doing it for a while. But I really have no idea how much they pay those people. I used to hear it was a lot, and then I met a couple people who work in TV and they laughed at me. So, and they're people who should be getting paid, but no, I bet we do better than them.
You think so?
Yeah.
I
kind of feel like we do pretty well for radio guys.
Well, yeah. But I mean, there are radio guys who do better than us though.
Yeah.
But I bet like the top tier of those chicks, like Dominique Soxa, I bet she's like quarter milli.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Really? I want to know. I don't know where Joel's wife ranks in the rankings, like with Dominique Soxa. I don't know who the respected news ladies are in this town because I don't watch the local news. I bet John would know. But Wendy's not like a news lady anymore. She's like the boss of the station. But I bet I bet John could give me some dirt. But he probably can't just say it on the air because.
Right.
You know, he's got his wife's the boss. He didn't want to blow that.
Yeah, Garza mentioned that Dominique's married to a rich dude. They live in River Oaks. Yeah, he's.
Of course she is.
Well, that's the thing. They all marry rich dudes. So that tells me they don't make that much. So,
well, often rich people marry other rich people.
True. But most of these TV people are hot. And so I'm guessing they're marrying up financially.
Could be.
So this is according to payscale.com. The average news anchor, not reporter, but anchor, the median salary is $74,000 a year. Now, it varies between anywhere from $32,000 to $204,000.
Okay, so where are you getting this info?
Payscale.com. And ZipRecruiter has pay for reporters, not anchors.
Anchors are a different thing. What's what's the top out for the anchors?
It says $204,000. Typically.
Okay.
Typically between somewhere between 32 and 204, with the median of Houston news anchors making about 74,000.
Huh. Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong then. I mean, that's $74,000 a good living for just reading a teleprompter, by the way. It's a, I always say, I mean,
if I knew how to read, I'd know where to send my resume.
God, you know, I mean, I still say the easiest job in the world is being a disc jockey at a radio station that plays music. I mean, anyone can do it now. Literally anyone. Now, I think there was a time where it was a talent. I do think there was a time where a disc jockey, like, they selected the music they were playing for the day and you know, they kept everything running. And they, of course, you got to read your commercials and things like that. But now, literally, all you do is you read your commercials and you press a button that plays what the program director locked in for you to play. It just seems like it's a lost art.
I'll agree with that part. But the real crux of the issue is now if you're an on-air, if you're an actual on-air personality for a music station, you have probably 18, 19 other stations that you have to do all in one day. So you have to do, you know, a four-hour show where you talk about 2-3 minutes an hour times 19 or 20 because you're on that many different stations because they've consolidated everybody. So you have to then localize each at least one or two of your breaks per hour to that thing. So it takes a lot of planning of, okay, at this hour I'm going to talk about this in Spokane, but at this point I need to talk about this in Lake Charles. So it's just really time consuming now, and to keep all your ducks in a row when you're on multiple stations.
Yeah, I guess. I mean you're talking about like at a big cluster though. Like at iHeart you're going to be on multiple stations.
Yes.
I don't think that but happens most, everywhere though.
I mean, most small family owned, like if we had a music station, we also wouldn't be, I don't think the program director would just tell the people, hey, come in and voice track your stuff, and once you're done, you're done. We're going to call that a salary. They would be in the studio live and doing their breaks live.
Now, there is something to people who do like if you're a wacky morning show guy or something, there is something to that. There's a skill to that that's different. I still say what we do is harder, you know, because we've got to talk for 3 hours. Whereas wacky morning show guy, they can do an 8 minute bit and then play some music for 40 minutes. Like, so it's, but you do have to come up with that 8 minutes of material.
Yeah.
And you're also not, I guess there's always something to talk about, but we work in sports media, we work in a particular medium where there's a lot of stuff handed to us overnight. I don't know. I feel like what Fred and I do is basically the most respectable thing in media, honestly, right?
Conservative talk.
That's more respectable than what we do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh,
okay.
Definitely. Same thing, though. They have to talk the whole time. I don't know how much you could pay me to go and read a teleprompter, though, to do that stuff. Today in Southwest Houston, someone else got shot outside a bar at 2:30 a.m. Let's go to the weather. I mean, that would be mind-numbing. So, according to factualideas.com, it says she makes 500K. I'm told she has a bunch of YouTube followers, and that's probably where all that comes from. She does a bunch of YouTube stuff. But those things don't generate enough income to pay people that much, if you think about it. I mean, how much local advertising goes directly into their newscasts? I mean, I don't know.
And they're news people, so they can't really do endorsements like we can.
Right. So, but yeah, I'm sure like Michael Berry and Rod Ryan are making really good money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
And Rod Ryan, I mean, he probably makes a healthy salary, but a good chunk of his money comes from endorsements and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Same with Teresa Rockface. Like, if you've got, and, you know, like, what Rod Ryan does a show. I mean, they've got times where they're chatting. What Michael Berry does is a show. Like, that Michael Berry, That's a whole different thing to me than like a radio DJ. I'm talking about these people, especially people that do like overnights or evenings on a rock station. It's literally pushing a button.
Most of those guys are doing a million other things. Like the overnight guy on the Buzz is their production director. So he controls the commercials for seven different stations. And then in his spare time, will go and do his overnight shift.
What's Teresa Rockface do? What's her?
She does the Buzz. And then last I checked, she had 24 other markets.
Wow.
Plus two national feeds, like, because iHeart will have a national radio station that plays.
So is she in small market, or like, are these 24 markets, are they smaller markets, like where they don't have local radio guys?
Well, most of their, unless it's LA, Houston, Dallas, Chicago, a lot of them gotten rid of most of their local, except
like,
for in mornings.
Like, is Rod Ryan, is he on a bunch of different stations?
No, he's on
just
his own.
Houston,
he's
right?
Just Houston.
And I guess, I mean, that makes, and he does a show. Like, he does a localized
morning show.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, yeah, last I checked, I think she was all, like, I know she's on in Salt Lake. I think there's a girl in Atlanta, too, who does a lot of their syndication. They have two or three different female rock personalities who handle, I want to say, probably 90% of all stations that iHeart owns.
Okay.
So
I think the easiest job is the satellite guys who work those rock stations, like Ozzy's Boneyard and Hair Nation. It's like they'll come on and they'll do, like, I don't know, 30 seconds of, so I got out of bed this morning, man, and came over to do the show, and there was a lot of traffic. All right, now let's listen to Bark at the Moon by Ozzy Osbourne. It's like the most boring story in the world, followed by, all right, next. Now we're going to listen to a little Pearl Jam. And there's this one woman, I actually met her in Vegas. She lives in Vegas and she does a bunch of those shows. She's always doing that. And it's like, I was laying out by the pool today. Compelling.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you're getting paid for it. That's a job I might take. I think I could come up with a few better stories. The problem is I'd want to talk too much. Like, they don't let them talk at all, right?
Yeah, they want you get like 30 TV seconds. They want you 30 seconds or less on every break.
And honestly, I don't want to hear them talk either. I'm there for the music. So I would get fired for sure. So
that's why I tried, if I had my own rock station, I'd probably try to bring back the afternoon drive talk show too. So, because you used to have the morning drive talk show and then the afternoon drive talk show where
right.
It was just a different set of personalities doing the same thing.
Yeah, and you throw a little music in. Exactly. I loved the original. I mean, I've been on record. I loved 101 growing up. I think that was the greatest channel we've ever had in this city. But I don't know that would fly anymore. I don't think rock's popular enough. I know we couldn't support it with advertisers. Because believe me, I've thought about putting a group together and trying to recreate that, but
I think it only works in like the model he's talking about. If you're going out to a bunch of different stations.
Yeah, and I just don't know that you could build that up because there's already that station in every other city except Houston.
I mean, there's some,
because every station is going to have a local morning show more than likely.
Yeah. And so, I mean, some stations, like a friend of mine, Phyllis, who was on the Buzz forever. She's now in Idaho Falls, but she's on a small family-owned rock station. And that's her job, is to be an on-air. And all of their on-air people, from what she's told me, are all live and local. So, hey, my shift's over. Get in here.
Does she pick her own music?
I think she gets to have some input, but not to pick every song. No. Probably not.
I wouldn't even want to be on the radio if I couldn't pick the songs I was playing.
Yeah,
because now you're attaching me to these crappy songs.
But there's certain issues with that, too.
And how do you develop like a fan base? Like
your personality.
Like, wouldn't it be cool to be like, oh, I want to listen to that show because they play the music that I really dig? Like, that seems like
they make penis jokes.
Because how much personality can you really show in, like, okay, I've got 45 seconds of talk time here where I've got to give away Slipknot tickets and do something, but ready, go. Look at my personality. I mean, come on. You've only got so much time to do that. I do think, like, you could separate yourself by playing better music than other people.
But like, yes and no. Like Fred said, they don't come for your breaks anyway, so they're going to listen whether or not they really like your voice. I mean, sometimes there are some on-air people that they'll, the second they hear your voice during the break, they'll turn it off and go back to something else. But at the same time, to develop the personality, you keep making your 2 minutes every hour worth of breaks, and then when it comes time where car dealership XYZ says, hey, come on out and meet people, that's when you start expressing yourself, and people go, oh, I've never heard of you, but I'll listen. And then they've already got the face to connect to.
Yeah, see, that's boring as crap, man. I want Wild Wild West. I want freaking WKRP. I want pirate radio. I want dudes with personality playing their music. That would be my station. And, you know, but there's no way you could sustain it. Now, we could probably pull it off here and, like, rent space from Gal because there's enough areas to do it. But I just don't think we can make any money off of it. And, you know,
the problem is if you don't, if you have one guy who refuses to play that one act, then that radio promoter goes, all right, well, if you're not going to play that, next time the bigger band is in town that I represent, they're not going to come in and do a signing or do a meet and greet with fans. It's very political.
Yeah, but but that's why you have the lame-ass midday people who just push buttons for you. I mean, you have your hardcore morning show, and then the rest of the day you have, you know, the guy who's just, hey, this is Bad Bob, and here we're going to play this, and you let them do that crap. But you're,
then that person throws a fit that, hey,
then don't hire their asses, Aaron. You don't have to hire people who throw fits when you tell them ahead of time, this is your job. This is what you're going to do. If that's not good enough, guess what? I got 37 other resumes here. I'm going to go to number two on the list. That's a defeatist mindset, man. That's why you would not have been a success. You don't, you know, I don't want to piss off the talent. Bleep the talent. They're not the talent. The talent's the morning guys and the afternoon guys and the late night guy, the Johnny Fever guy. That's your talent. Midday, you're the bitch. Do what you're told. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780 ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. So, did you see this Mike Trout story about how he may not travel home because of the hurricane concerns?
No.
Which, again, it looks, the more I look at the model, we're not going to have to worry about it. But he said he may not travel home. He says, I do not like turbulence. You can ask any of my teammates. I already told Justin Upton, if that happens, we're driving 6 hours west and then flying.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody likes turbulence.
I mean, honestly, the way the Angels are playing, they should have to travel everywhere on a bus anyway.
That's true.
They shouldn't even get a plane.
But I can't imagine being so freaked out over turbulence that you would drive 6 hours. Well, the Angels are up 4-0 already, so.
Oh, no. Well, okay, you can have a plane, I guess.
I take it back. The time we came back from Vegas when I was stoned and drunk, I loved turbulence. I was having the time of my life. But, you know, I don't think you're going to have to worry about it. And by the way, it doesn't take long to get out of it. And they're not going to launch the plane during a hurricane.
Can we go into the BLAC experiment? Like, it was cool a couple times. We're like, ooh, look at him. And, like, now I think we know he's just not very good, right? Can we agree on that?
Yeah,
is it up for debate?
No, I mean, he doesn't have great stuff.
It's almost surprising that he pitched as well as he did early on.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been pitching that
and
well.
Should have just ridden that as long as you could, and then, you know.
If I were him and I had like three good, oh boy. If I had like three good starts, I would have just said, okay, I'm retiring. That's as good as it's getting.
Yeah, well, it's. I think it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah, I'm looking at his game log. One earned run, zero earned run. Now, mind you, this was like 3 1/3, two innings. And then he goes to 5 innings, 0 earned runs. Now his ERA is at 0.87. That's when he should have retired. And then, two earned runs in 5 innings. that bumps you up a little to 176. And then, six innings. I got a win, one earned run against the Rockies, 2-1. Now my ERA is at 1.69. I'm on top of the world. And then I played the Padres and gave up 7 runs in 1 1/3 inning. Now my ERA went from 1.69 to 4.37. And now he's given up 4 earned runs in 2/3 of an inning so far. And he may not be done.
Yeah, he's got 2 outs and a runner on second.
He may not be done. He's trying to pump it up, babe. Pump it up. I mean, he did a really good job early on. And I was like, wow, this guy's way better than I expected him to be. But now I think the clock has struck midnight, Fred. I think he's turned back into a pumpkin.
Yeah, well, we see that with a lot of young pitchers. And so much for that. You got more out of him than you should have.
And here comes Dusty. Yeah. Masked up Dusty. That's it. That'll do it. So now he could potentially give up 6 runs in 2/3 of an inning.
To the Angels.
Yeah, this isn't great. So that means in his last, so not even counting the 2 that are potentially out there, in his last 2 innings pitched, he's given up 11 earned runs. Like earlier when I said I'm not a basketball coach, I'm also not a baseball coach.
Manager,
but I don't think that's good. I think that's less than ideal.
Are you not an analytics guy?
No, that's Lance.
Because I don't think the analytics on this are very good either. I mean, maybe there's some obscure stat that we're not looking at that says, hey, it's not a bad start. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, I don't know if you saw this, the trailer for the Batman movie.
No. With the Batman movie?
The Batman, yeah, with Robert Pattinson, whoever. I guess he's a Twilight guy.
Okay. Ugh, I've got a bad feeling about this.
The trailer looked pretty cool. And there was a Riddler in there, though.
Here's my problem. I don't know how to say this in a PC way. Like, every other Batman, while, you know, maybe not believable like as Batman, like George Clooney, very believable as a Bruce Wayne, less believable as a Batman, but it ended up not really working out for him. But for the most part, if you're Batman, like you've got this look to you, like that guy could probably beat me up. And I know people think Ben Affleck's a punk, but he's like 6'5" or 6'. That dude would probably smack you around.
And he was drunk all the time, so yeah. He'd definitely
beat most of ass. You guys who think you could whoop Ben Affleck's ass are probably mistaken. I'm almost certain that 90% of our listening audience could beat up Robert Pattinson in hand-to-hand combat. And if that's the case, I don't think that guy should be Batman.
Well, I will...
He just looks like a punk, doesn't he?
I'll give it a chance just because I was skeptical when they said, oh, we're going to reboot Batman with Ben Affleck. And you were skeptical as well, but I thought he nailed it. So I'll give this guy a chance, and a lot depends on the plot. It's hard to screw up Batman. I mean, hell, Michael Keaton played Batman.
All right. You want Robert Pattinson's height and weight, and you tell me if this is Batman.
Okay.
6'1", 165 pounds.
But you know what? For an actor, that's...
165?
I know, but dude, those guys are tiny.
It looks like he got in pretty decent shape for it, though.
If you're
6'1", the camera can make you look a lot bigger. Yes, the camera can make you look a lot bigger. If the dude's ripped and you put on that, you know, you basically put on the Batman stuff.
Yeah, if you just Google Robert Pattinson Batman shape and go to images, he worked out a good bit for this role compared to what he was.
Well, you'd have to. But now it's like Tom Cruise always looked bigger than he's a jockey. That dude's like 120-something. I mean, if he were to walk outside during this hurricane, then he'd wind up in friggin' Nacogdoches. I mean, that's most of these guys. So, but anyway, the cool part was the Riddler.
Who plays the Riddler?
It doesn't say in the trailer, and it's hard to tell from the actual trailer. But the Riddler's first riddle: what does a liar do when he's dead?
I don't know.
He lies still.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a good one, Riddler.
Yeah. Riddler was always one of my favorites. I was disappointed in Jim Carrey's Riddler.
Yeah.
Because I had high hopes for that.
I don't know. Riddler's kind of a goofy character.
He is, but yeah, and at the time Jim Carrey was still huge.
He was.
So
having him in the movie made sense for them because he was a huge star.
Everyone thought Heath Ledger would be bad as the Joker, and look how he did. I don't know that people thought he would be bad. I think people were skeptical at the time. Some people were.
Oh, boy.
What just happened?
Ted Williams just bailed the Astros out. That was probably a double, maybe a triple. Look at this play. I mean, that ball is going, I didn't think he had any business catching that. Good for him. Way to go, Ted Williams.
Now go hit a four-run homer.
That's right. Get him back in this. And look at that. Saved Belak's ERA from going up.
Anymore.
Anymore.
Yeah. All right, guys. Guess what? You don't need to be an expert to know that consolidating credit card debt into one low fixed rate can save you money. And my friends from Lightstream are back, and you can start saving today with a credit card consolidation loan from them. Lightstream's fixed rate credit card consolidation loan start at 5.95%. APR with autopay and excellent credit. That's a lot lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. And you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. And I don't know what your credit card numbers are, but it's certainly not going to be 5.95%. It's 100% online. You can get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees, and that's exactly what they deliver. And if you've had to run your credit cards up during this and your credit's still good, Lightstream is for you. My listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
You're listening to The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Somebody on Twitch asked, Fred, are you a Trekkie or a Star Wars fan? Why do you have to be one or the other? I actually liked both. I liked the original Star Wars up until the first three, basically. So up 1 through 6, I liked. I think everything they've done since has been a money grab, and I haven't enjoyed any of it. But I loved the first few, and I like Star Trek a lot. I like that, but I also like the newer Star Treks, and like the new Star Trek movies. Going back to the original, I didn't really care that much.
Yeah, I guess I don't really care about it. I mean, I used to like Star Wars more, but I don't like Star Wars as much as I used to. They kind of killed it for me.
Maybe it's just getting old, man. Maybe they're just not as much fun. I didn't even like The Mandalorian, and everybody raved about it. But I always thought that was just because they were so desperate for something Star Wars to not suck that, oh, this is so great. I didn't hate the Han Solo movie, but...
No, that was pretty good.
Yeah. But didn't like that.
I think a lot of the times there's... there's too much, like they try to push things too far, and I think Star Wars is one of those things. They almost killed it by having too much of it.
Well, but I mean, they all make money for them, so, and that's what they're going to do. All right, let's do a little hey man, bleep that. So it's not like we don't have enough going on in the world, But did you see that there's an asteroid that might actually hit the Earth the day before the election?
I've heard of that.
We had one last week that was 108 feet across and basically passed within 209,000 miles of us. And when did all this start where somebody just started lobbing giant asteroids at us?
I don't know where it's coming from, but it does seem to be happening now. I'm against it, though. I want everyone to know.
Ancient astronaut theorists suggest that if we don't make friends with the aliens, we're going to get blown off the planet. But, you know, I mean, we never heard about this stuff. And I don't know if it's just because, oh, well, we got to let you know, here's something else to be scared of. Enough already. They're not going to hit us. To that, I say, hey, man, f*** that.
You want to go?
Sure. So it is still Corona time, even though everybody has forgotten about it because there's a hurricane and election, all that crap. KFC decided that now we're what, 5 months, 4 months, 5 months in, they're going to change their slogan from finger looking good because it promotes people sticking their hands in their mouth after eating fried chicken and you could spread coronavirus that way.
Hmm.
This is the biggest virtue signaling by a company that just wants to try to keep their name relevant and throw it out there because, well, Popeyes has a chicken sandwich that's better than any chicken that KFC features. McDonald's announced they're doing spicy chicken nuggets now because they want to compete. Chick-fil-A's always been
you
better
mean
than
spicy chicken pieces.
McNuggets. Yeah.
Be careful with that word now.
Fair enough. I appreciate you watching out.
Another person went down from that.
Oh, I missed
that. A second person typed in nuggets, and it turned into the N-word. I'm not typing nuggets anymore.
That's fair enough. Well, if I say it, and I mean, I feel like I have a little bit more control.
What if you accidentally say the N-word, though? I can't save you at that point.
I don't know if I ever...
I mean, I'm just letting you know, if somehow your internal keyboard...
I appreciate you watching out for me.
...auto-corrects it, I can't save your job at that
McDonald's
point.
McDonald's is getting in... They're up in their chicken game with spicy chicken pieces. So I think KFC is just really trying to say, hey guys, we're still relevant. We care. We don't want you to spread Corona, but also keep buying the chicken and touching it and then putting it into your mouth. So for that, hey man, f*** that.
Mine is about that. You know that guy in Belarus?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's either like the biggest hero or the worst guy ever. I haven't decided.
I'm pretty sure he's one of the worst guys ever. He's Alexander Lukashenko.
Call him Alex.
Over 100,000 protesters are there demanding his resignation, and they want free and fair elections. And he may actually step down. It's possible he's going to step down. And after a 26-year rule. And it looks like the person that's going to be fairly elected is his son, who's 15 years old and has been being trained since the age of 5 to basically be, like, they call him the King Joffrey of Belarus.
Awesome. Awesome. Because yeah. That's exactly what the world needs.
So how often does that happen? Like, imagine this. Imagine the United States were like, oh, we want Trump to resign. He's got to go away. And Trump says, and we want to choose who your replacement is. Do you think that the people who forced him to resign would in any circumstance choose Donald Trump Jr. to be the next president? My guess is no.
No. You know who would they choose? They'd choose Barron.
You think they would choose Barron? Well, I don't think they would.
Because Barron's 14.
But I think in this instance, that they're trying to say that the new fair election... It's going to end up, now mind you, zero votes have been tallied, but they say that he's likely to be quote unquote elected as the next president of Belarus.
Why don't we just call it a monarchy?
I mean, come on.
Well, Putin's doing the same thing for himself.
And they dress him up in military gear everywhere. Yeah. To that I say, hey man, f*** that.
By the way, have you seen Barron lately? No. He's like 6'6".
Really?
He's like 14 years old and 6'6". He just shot up. Like you wouldn't even recognize him. So, So it was saying the asteroids are from the bug planet from Starship Troopers. Goodbye, Buenos Aires. That's the case. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Decent effort for a Tuesday. Good job from the Twitch crew today. Good job from Twitter. Didn't really pay attention to texters because it was a Tuesday. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. We will do it tomorrow. Hopefully, we won't be doing it. We're in about a damn storm coming here. Till then, stay running free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.